in the Maimer, you got on Tam A1 in the Perush on page Dalad. On the right hand side, Abul Bishosho, a few lines down on the right hand side, Abul Bishosho Lamala, Ama Erlam Atoyu, that food, remarkably, in its shayrish, in its root, before its descent through the shattering of the vessels, the Shiris HaKelim, food does not need man's working to repair it. Food in its shayrish, in its root of existence, lamala, above, is higher than man. So let's read the perush. Hasherish shalachias elokis shebedvaram gashmiyim. The root of that godly vitality, that life energy, chias elokis. The root of chias elokis shebedvaram gashmiyim in physical things. It's from a spiritual reality, a spiritual world that is very, very high. Elyon b'yaisa. Hanikra elmato. That is called in the Zohar and the Ari HaKadosh, elm hatohu, the world of tohu. Sha'al zeh nemar, regarding which it says at the beginning of Chumash Va'aretz, haisa tohu. That at the beginning, the very, very beginning, at the root of all existence, the world was tohu. And there's a reality that has fallen from that place of tohu. And it looks to us like it's beneath man, and it's lower than man. According to Kabbalah, the olam ha-tohu is higher than the olam ha-atzilus, is higher than the highest world of atzilus, of the spheres and so on, higher than man, higher than angels and so on. Shehu ha-olam harishon, which is the highest level of worlds, of reality. Vayesa gavaya shebeseder ha-ishtalshulis, in the order of the descent of worlds. That which is called Olam HaTohu is higher than all of the worlds of Ishtalshelus that begin from creation and on. Shabbay Nechlolim Kol Olam HaRuchaniyim Shenem Shachim Zem Yizeh B'Seder V'Hadraga. All the worlds, one level to a lower level, each one descending from the one above it, all of that entire process of the Ishtalshelus, the whole Seder Ishtalshelus begins from Atzilus. That's the highest level of reality, of created worlds. The Olam HaTohu is higher than that. V'ha'aretz haisa tohu v'avohu. U'mavur b'kisvi ha'arizal, shal olam ha'tohu ne'amar, and it's explained in the Kisvei Ha'ari that regarding this mysterious primordial world that's called Olam HaTohu, it is written in Chumash. It's hinted at in Chumash. As I told you, this is one of the deepest parashiyos sections in the entire Tanakh. It contains within it the secrets of before creation. Ve'ela ha'mlochim asher molchu be'eretz Edom lifnei mloich melech livnei Yisrael. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom before a king ruled Livnei Yisrael. There is a world that precedes Hainu Lamala Min, which is above Olam HaAtzilus. Olam HaAtzilus is called Melech Livnei Yisrael. Melech Livnei Yisrael. Shemisham Sherish Adam. The highest and most exalted human being, of course, is Yisrael. is a Jew, is Bnei Yisrael. So the Inatzilus in that world, in the highest level of reality, Inatzilus, there is the Sheirish of Yisrael, the root of man, and the root of man, of course, is Yisrael. It's the highest level of mankind, is Yisrael. That's called Melech Livnei Yisrael, a king of Bnei Yisrael. There is something that's even higher, that's earlier, that's Lifnei Melech Livnei Yisrael, before there was a king of Bnei Yisrael, before man. And that's the Olam HaTov. Ella Shachias Elokis. However, that godly life force, which is called Mitzaitis HaKadusha, the sparks of holiness, Nafla Misham, descended and fell from that world that's called Tohu, Al Yidei Shvirus HaKelim, through that event that we're not going into, but that event that's called the shattering of vessels. While Inyan Hashvira Hamoira on the Fila Atsuma, as a result of this shattering, there was a horrible Nefila, an awesome descent. Ad Shahaor HaElokei Misalem Lagamre. Till any trace of godly light is completely concealed, has completely disappeared from our eyes. But remember, we spoke about last week in the note how there is a rishima, there's a, on the kalim, on the sides of the vessels, there's a light. Film, there's a rishim, there's residue of light. But we certainly can't see that. So we see physical things, we see this world, it appears to us to be beneath and lower than men. Kanal namava yimlach vayamas. Regarding this descent, the Torah is hinting to the words Vayimloch, that it ruled in the Olam HaTohu. It was on that exalted level. Vayamas, it died. That king died. That descent from the higher level to the lower level, as we learned last week, any descent from a higher level to a lower level is called death. Vayamas. The Misa who kinu liyiridas Unefilas Hasharis Lamata. Misa is a way of referring to this, the Yerida, the descent and the fall from the highest root above. Ba'ifin Shahor hu betachlis ahelim. But now light is betachlis ahelim, where the light is completely hidden. That's what it means when we speak about a person dying. Also, the death of a person only appears to us to as if that is no longer in existence, as if that person no longer exists. That's how it appears to us. That's only because it's now, when the person dies, his metzias, his chiyas elokis, has disappeared from our field of vision. Not, God forbid, that it no longer exists, but it's not in our field of vision. Kalman denachas midarge v'chula kari b'misa. As it says in the Zohar Kodesh, anybody who descends from a higher level to a lower level, it's called Misa, it's called dying. So a person was doing better in his learning or his davening, and now he's descended from that higher level. In Pnimius, you could say Kaddish over the person, because there's a Misa, a death that's taking place. Ach mikol mokom nirish asher she'yaseh gevoah mihodem. But the Sheirish is higher than men. Shehamachol, food, hu amechayes adam. Food does not depend upon man. Man depends upon food, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Man depends on food. That's the mystery of Achor v'Kedem Saratani that we spoke so much about. That man is both last and first. Last and first. From the perspective of man's being first, that's the 6 days of the week, he tries to repair the food and lift up the sparks of the food and so on. But as far as the sheresh of man, as far as the root of the food, rather, vis-a-vis man, the food comes from a higher place, from the Olam HaTohu. It's the food that enlivens man. Man depends on food. Food gives him life. Not that man gives the food life. Food gives life to the person. Man receives from food. In the order of giving and receiving, man is receiving from the food. The food is not receiving from man. Maila zu, this maila shebemachalim gashmiim, this advantage that physical food has l'gabi ha'adam over man, shechar sheme olam hatohu, it's the shirish of food, it's ma olam hatohu, from the place that's called the world of tohu, shelamalim yisharish adam, which is above the Sharish Adam. Ba'al Yidei Bitui, this is expressed, this is manifested, Gam La'achra Yiridus Nefilas HaMayich Lamata, Liyas Lamata Min Adam. Even in our world, after the shattering of their vessels, when the sparks in the Olam HaTohu have now descended so many levels that they're concealed in hot dogs and french fries and so on, in kugels and challahs, after all of these descents, there is still a trace of that original maila, of the original advantage, of the original greatness of food over man. There's a trace of it. There's a bitui. There's an expression or manifestation of it even now.
That's the oil of man that you mentioned? Yeah.
V'nimsa shebefrat zeh. V'nimsa shebefrat. Shebefrat ze hu bebchinas achor lemaisa bereishis lefishu mekabel es chiyusoi minatzaymeach v'achai, from the very reality that self kol self, even after the shattering of the vessels and after food and all physical things have descended from such an exalted place of tohu, even now in our world, the food is fine without man, but man can't exist without food. The food doesn't have to be touched. The water and the wheat that's growing, the world is doing, is gewalding. No, nothing is starving. Niagara Falls is doing just fine. Nothing's happening to anybody. But if we don't drink, and if we don't eat, we're finished. We can't live. See, even after the shattering of the vessels and the descent from the Olam HaTohu, food can still look at man and say, don't forget, Rabbi Isai, you need me in order to live. Don't forget that I come from the Olam HaTohu, Lifnei Mloich Melech LiYisrael, before there was a king of Israel, before there was man. And therefore, in that respect, there is a trace of the original greatness of physical matter before it descended through the shattering of vessels and into this world and became enclosed after billions and trillions of countless descents. It became enclosed in physical matter that we look at and we think is nothing, no big deal. Right? It's nothing. Ubishabiz, Shehu's Man Aliyas Ha'olam is. And when is that expression clearest? When is that manifestation of the original greatness of food? When is that experienced? When can it be experienced? The Rebbe's going to say, you don't have to. It could be just the same thing. If you're eating during Shabbos, it's the same as you eat during the 6 days of the week, then there's no difference. It just tastes better. My wife read to me a very, very moving thing from a book that she was reading last night about the kinder transport. You know that there were Jewish children that were given away by their parents, and many of them came to England, and they were saved from the Nazis. Like, it's a whole mice. I'm sure that you know about it. Anyway, there was a woman that she wrote there how it was very, very touching, how she was separated from her parents. She was separated from her parents for the years of the war, and she was in London, and her life was saved being in London. And she was with a very well-to-do Jewish family that she was placed. She was lucky. A lot of the kids had miserable experiences, I hate to say, by other Jews. They were not treated properly. My wife was sharing some of that with me. It was very shocking. Mostly, of course, they were treated well, but there were some who were treated terribly. But this one particular woman was taken in. It was her mazel. She was taken in by a wealthy family in London, and she had it pretty good. And they gave her the best foods, like all these gourmet foods. Nisim and Aflos, her mother survived. The father didn't. Her mother survived the Holocaust, and the mother found her in London, and the mother was with some of the other survivors. They gave them a little apartment. In the meantime, until they decided where they were going to go, she had a little apartment, and it was a very, very, very broken little place. But she had her daughter back with her. Listen to this. Ad kedei kach, that she said that she couldn't even speak. The mother spoke only German and Yiddish. And she already forgot that. She forgot she was a little girl. She only spoke English. With her own mother, she couldn't really communicate.
How old was she?
I don't know the exact age, but she was a little kid. So they couldn't even really talk to each other. The mother didn't know a word of English. And the girl didn't speak any more Yiddish or German. So she said that her mother was Orthodox. The people that she was with in England were not, but they were good people, but not Orthodox. And they didn't have Shabbos or Yom Tov, it wasn't anything. But they were very wealthy, and she was taken care of. She's with her mother in the apartment, and she said that her mother, she was there, the mother brought her back, and there was this beautiful reuniting. And then the mother made, she said, cooked the Shabbos foods, right? It was Shabbos. So she said that she had the first piece of gefilte fish in those years, and she said she didn't know how to say it. She said just more. They gave more gefilte fish. She says, "Oh, it was Erev Shabbos. The mother was cooking. Right? It was Erev Shabbos. The mother was preparing everything." So she said, "Sweetheart, taste a little bit." She tasted the fish. She said more. And the mother said, "They'll be on Shabbos. More." And she said the same thing with the kugel, and there was simis. And she said, and she wrote in her, she's now an older woman, she was in England somewhere, or America, I don't know. She said that she had, that when she was in England those years, she had the most expensive, delicious foods, and but the taste of that first piece of gefilte fish, and chal, that she had from her mother, she said to this day, she remembers, was the most delicious taste that she ever had in her life, that food. Because that was the food of when she was a baby, when she was a little girl. That was the Shabbos food. It's very beautiful. It's a very deep thing in the person. And when it comes out most on Shabbos, it doesn't have to. If your Shabbos, if the achila of Shabbos is like the achila of the 6 days of the week, and there are no different kavanas, then it's not, you know, the taste. Then the neshama seira feels and knows something very deep. But Shabbos is man aliyas ha'olamos. This is for those who haven't learned this sugya of food. This is a very, very astonishing revelation of what happens to the food on Shabbos. It looks the same, it might taste the same, although it doesn't, but it's different. What's on Shabbos? On Shabbos, which is the time of the Aliyas Ha'olamos, when worlds rise and return to their source in Kedusha, the food is returned to its state before the descent through the shattering of vessels. In other words, you're chomping on the olam hatohu, and you're sitting at the table, and you say, "Chayit Shabbos Kodesh." Before you have that first piece of fish, and hopefully you have good chayin also. This Shabbos we had a very big mystery that happened to me. I don't understand it. We had such a laugh at the table. I have my Shabbos back as should. I don't know how, but there was chayin that went through. So I had chayin, like I had a big thing of chayin over here. And the chayin, it was the first time on Shabbos I wear the talis cut on top. It was on the talis cut and the big chayin. And then it was on the shirt, the chayin, the undershirt. Right? And I said to the girls, I said to my children, and it was, even when I was standing against the wall, it was on the wall. Behind me, there was such a chrein, this chrein. Mom was through it through the chrein. Right? I noticed that when I was taking off my bag, I said, "Well, what happened over here?" And I don't even know how it got there to begin with because it was COVID. All right, so I was laughing. I showed the girls. So then they said, "Oh, you know, girls are you change your shirt, Daddy, change your shirt." I said, "There's nothing wrong. That's the Shabbos to get shirt. It's just strange." I wore it the whole Shabbos. I wore undershirt, the tallest cotton. I wore everything with the shrine. It goes over the back of the shirt. That's why we have back of the shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? When you wear a suit, it's Rachmanis, because then everything, the necktie gets dirty and the suit gets dirty. You wear a tie, it's just machai. Nothing. Unless you throw something on your neck. Or if it's super duper chrein, it made its way through, but it's all covered with the... But that's the Shabbos to get chrein. It gets through the whole Olam HaGashmi. It made its way through everything. Ramish. It comes from a higher place. It comes from that. Aliyas Olam is on Shabbos. It's different. Ravu Bekisve Arizal. Sheb Shabbos was among Aliyas Olam. Shabbos is the time of Aliyas Olam. It's a very, very big inyan. What that means, Aliyas Olam. Somebody who wants to spend a lot of time working on this, because this is only going to be a Hagdama. A lot of time and more. It was more mishalom and explanations of working out. Of course, he learned the Siddur Shal Shabbos in the Holy Bermaim Chaim. The whole Siddur Shal Shabbos of the Bermaim Chaim is on this inyan of the Aliyas Haylamis and Shabbos. The whole Siddur, and it's written in a very, very clear. It's very, very. The Bermaim Chaim, as you know, those who have learned this form know that Bermaim Chaim wrote it much more nigla, much, much more revealed and easy. But it's hundreds of pages. It takes time. But the Siddur Shal Shabbos is on the whole, on this inyan. Is the Siddur Shal Shabbos is the whole Sefer is on this Inyan, on the Aliyas Olam is on the Inyan of Shabbos. But it's a very, very basic Sefer, and if you have a chance, only get the, if you're gonna next time in the Sfarim, so get only the new one that has in it already the translations of all the Zoyas, and it's very good, and it divides it up according to the parashas of the Torah to learn to for Jew to go Fari to a mikveh. And then to have a delicious Shabbos meal, and afterwards to learn Siddur Shal Shabbos, there's no better thing in the world. Nothing else that's better than that in the world. No, Baruch Hashem. Hasn't yet been descended through the Shvius Akelin onto the bookshelves. I'm sorry.
What did Rebbe mean by translated?
The Zoyas.
Yeah.
So that's why, because you don't get lost in the, you know, when he brings the Zoya, okay. It brings in the Hebrew from the Aramaic to the Hebrew. It translates, but not the English. No, it's not in English. The real good stuff is still in the original. The real good stuff. It's hard. The chrein, right? The chrein is still in its original. It hasn't been diluted.
He's not talking about meat. He's talking about. He's talking about Sumerach and not the meat yet, right?
What makes you think he's not talking about meat? I'm curious.
I see Sumerach and I see he doesn't talk about meat. He's talking about maybe vegetables and.
Yeah, he's talking about whatever we eat on Shabbos. No. Everything, whatever we eat on Shabbos. So he says. She says, Kishem Shabishesh Yimei Breishes, by the 6 days of the week. Nigmar Melechus Shemayim Varetz, when Hashem is Baruch completed the Melacha, the work, the creation of heaven and earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavas Vayinofash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyochel Shavas Vayinofash, he stopped and he rested. Of course, it doesn't mean human beings, what we can call a rest. Okay. So too, each and every week, this happens again. Chalila doesn't mean like we say chas chalila. Chalila means in return, back. Each and every week, during the 6 days of the week, Mashpia Kadosh Baruch Hu Kiyam Mechias LeNevarim. Hashem is Baruch is Mashpia life and vitality and energy to all that exists, either tzimtzum v'yiridas k'chayis of Yisbarach, through the concealment and the constriction and the descent of Hashem's koyach is very, 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 very hidden and concealed and constricted and descends trillions and billions of times. That's how the world receives God's light during the 6 days of the week. It's under a billion coverings, God's light. So you don't even notice there's nothing. You don't see, you don't know what. That's the 6 days of the week. But afterwards, Bayom HaShvi, on Shabbos, Shoyves HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzimtzumim V'Yiridos Eila. That's the deeper meaning of the Shvisa that takes place on Shabbos according to the Arizal. Hashem stops. He no longer hides. And he no longer is Mashpia in the way of Tzimtzumim, of constrictions and concealment and Yiridos. Just the opposite. On Shabbos, the godly energy and life force is reunited with its source in Shoyrish, from the highest place of the Olam HaTohu. Derech Mashal, may Adam, a Mashal, may Adam Sheshoves Mimlacha. When a person rests or desists from his work, Shebeis Asiyas HaMalacha, at the time that the person was working, Hayu Kaiches Nafsham Lubashim Vasukim Vasiyazu. When the person was working, when he was building something, doing something, whatever he was doing, so his Kaiches, all the Kaiches of his Nefesh are what? Are at that time enclosed in the hammering and the fixing, and it's all enclosed in that physical work. Ubigmar Asiyas HaMalacha, when he finishes that work, then his kaiches, in other words, during the work, the project that he's working on, he pours out his energy into the wood, into the rug, whatever he's fixing or putting down, or into the person that he's helping, the client, the chayis, whatever it is, he's pouring out his kaiches. When he finishes the malacha, whatever that malacha is, so then his kaiches return to their source and to their root of himself. Benimsa, after the brackets, the last line on the page.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't understand enough. How is Hashem Mashpia on through the 6 days of the week? Hashem is Mashpia through the Tzimtzum. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpia on Shabbos?
So let's go. Let's continue.
Yeah.
Benimsa, look. Benimsa, he says, Shekiyim v'chiyas ha'ayla b'yem ha'shabbos, that the kiyim, the existence and the chiyas, and the life of the world b'yom haShabbos on Shabbos, hey mi madrega gavoya ma'od. It looks everybody's living and breathing. It's like seems like the same, and people are on Shabbos coming and going, and everything looks the same. But the truth is that the kiyum and the chiyus of the world, the existence of the world and its life on Shabbos, it's all coming mimadrega gevoah ma'od, from a very, very, very high level. Hainu mimadregas shayrish achiyas eloki, from that madrega of the root. Its root of what? Of chiyas eloki, of godly life force and energy. Kfishu terem shenis samtseim v'yayred ha'or v'achiyas eloki, before, from that level, that's prior to the tzimtzumim, the descent and the constrictions and concealments of how that light descends during the week. The chis lakim madrega madrega, from one level to a low level, the b'chinas hestepanim, which is all in the way of hestepanim, of concealment.
How is this possible? Would that world shatter?
I think you should just wait a minute. Let's just wait. I know it's become excitement because it's a very, very new concept, right? But just let's just finish what he's explaining, and then we'll talk about it more. V'zehu soid kedushas Shabbos shemi'ira ba'olam b'yom haShabbos. This is the secret of the holiness of Shabbos. That's mi'ira ba'olam b'yom haShabbos. That illuminates the world on Shabbos. That you and I might not be bichlal aware of. But as I told you, the original, even as a little boy, would look at the sky and say, this sky looked to him as total, everything in the world was totally different than he looked at on Shabbos. Everything was totally different, completely different. Zelsaid Kedusha Shabbos, Shemi'ir Ba'ilam B'yam HaShabbos. Omayach HaShekiyim V'chiyas HaNivroim B'Shabbos. Homi Madrega Gevoya Yoyser. And since the Kiyim and the Chiyas, the life and the existence of all that, of all that is on Shabbos, Homi Madrega Gevoya Yoyser, it comes from a very great and exalted level, from the Olam HaTohu, from the Shoresh. Remarkably, without causing a Shiris HaKelem, without causing a shattering and a destruction, that while enclosed in that world of Shabbos, that the light, having been distilled and hidden over 6 days, it is able to be revealed on Shabbos in such a way, but only those individuals who are working on self-refinement and purifying themselves, as we'll talk about, are able to experience, not in full force, because that would be, of course, that would be the same problem as at the time of creation, and the world wouldn't exist. Obviously, God's light can't be totally unleashed, chas v'shalom, we wouldn't be able to live. But, and we're going to talk about this much more throughout the Maimon. But there is this Aliyah Ha'olamis on Shabbos. Everything that exists, everything that exists, of course, lives only because it has this koyach in it, this koyach eloki, this godly energy in it. Everything at Shabbos in the world has an aliyah. Everything is lifted up on Shabbos. Has an aliyah. Vahuhu inyan aliyas ha'olamos. This is what is called in the Zohar and the Ari, aliyas ha'olamos, the rising up of worlds that takes place on Shabbos, beyond the Shabbos. Shehem olam mimadregosam, that they rise from their present madrega during the 6 days. Umiskarvim yoyser le'elokus, and draw closer to Elokus. Ella she'eno nika le'enei baser. But of course, this is not recognized by fleshige eyes, by enei baser, by human eyes. But it's a process, it's what's happening. But of course, Hashem has to hide that. During the six days, even the most refined and holy person is subject to the avoda of just trying to separate what we learned is called the birurim of eating, that process of trying to use whatever I can from the food with my brachas and everything else to serve the Baruch Shalom. In other words, man has to try to refine and repair the food that he's eating. But on Shabbos, a person has to try to live up to the food, to rise up with the food, which we're going to talk much more about throughout the Maimer. The kachu b'inyin ha'macholim gashmiyim, she'sharashim kenal, hu l'maylam yisharash adam, which is higher than the sharish of man, she'biyayim ha'shabbos, she'oz oyle chiyas kol nevram l'sharashah, then the chiyus of all that exists rises to its root. Hari nimsa shebemaychel hagashmi, in the physical food that we're eating on Shabbos, meir or eloki elyon b'yaseh, there is shining a very high and exalted godly light. Shlamalam yisherish adam, that is higher than the sherish of men. The nimshach mimenu chiyus lahanefesh milamala lamata, And as opposed to the 6 days where we spoke about last week, where the Avodah is milamata lamala, from below to above, to try to lift up the sparks of holiness. On Shabbos, the Avodah is, how can I draw into my life from this food, from the food is now seen for what it really is, which is above me. I can draw from that higher existence into my life. Through all the foods of Shabbos, but especially through the 12 challahs that we began with, which is going on the piyut of the Ariyah Galan Lan Tame, to know the secret and to be able to experience the taste of the 12 challahs of the Suda Shabbos. Baal Pizeh, move on, Mashanemer Le'el. We can understand what we were learning before. Shaha Achila de Shabbos, he yoyser el yoyna. That eating on Shabbos is higher. The b'chinas hamshocha milamala. On Shabbos, we're trying to draw from above, from the food which is now returned to its shayrish. I'm trying to eat this food. Not that I'm trying to help the food, but I'm trying to be helped by the food. I'm trying to be helped by the food on Shabbos. During the week, I try to help the food, to be mavar of the food. On Shabbos, I'm trying to lift myself up to a level where I can allow the food to have its effect on me, that I can be uplifted by the food. Shachila de Shabbos he yoyisel yenu b'chinas hamshachem ilamala shebenigud la'achila b'sheishis me'achol. In contrast to the way that we eat during the week, during the week, the food is beneath man. And the spiritual objective of eating during the week is for the purpose of separating and clarifying, as we spoke about the last few weeks, to repair the food and to lift it up to Kedusha. On Shabbos, which is the time of the rise of worlds to their source, only if your act of eating on Shabbos is a spiritual, is an avoid in ruchnius, and you're working on yourself and you prepare for Shabbos, and it's not vayde ruchanis, azai then ha'achila de Shabbos in yona lahamshech chiyus alakis benafshei. Then the act of eating on Shabbos has the ability to draw into a person's life from the highest level of elokus into his soul, misherish ha'maychel, from the root of the food, shulamala min ha'adam, which is higher than men, v'zen nimshech lamata. And this is first drawn into the world on Shabbos through the 12 challahs that we have on the table. That's how it begins. Okay. With fear and trepidation. Yeah?
How are we to understand that we're doing a tikkun for the food during the week, yet you emphasize that we can't live without it, and there are remnants of the light during the week? Should the remnants of dormant compared to Shabbos or something?
There's the 6 days of the week and there's Shabbos.
Right, I'm just
two different worlds.
Right, but you emphasize that food, we can't do without food. So how are we to understand that we're doing a tikkun for the food, but yet the food is still higher than us, no?
Why is that a contradiction?
No.
Because the food is higher than us. I can't do without the food, yet I'm helping the food.
Right, they're two levels of consciousness and two realities that exist. There's the weekday reality and there's the Shabbos reality. During the week, I'm higher than the food, and on Shabbos, the food is higher than me. Those are two worlds. There's the week and there's Shabbos. It's not just like an idea. Those are two realities, two different universes.
So the reality of Shabbos does not exist during the week, even though the concept exists, that reality doesn't exist during the week. So even though the food on a certain level is higher,
Right? We try to draw out from Shabbos that our week should be different and so on. Of course, that's our avodah. But Shabbos is a different mitzvah. It's a different reality. You wouldn't say there's a contradiction between America and Canada. You say they're two different places.
No, but I'm just saying, because of the reality that exists in the food during the week, that it's higher than us, that it has a remnant on us, and it doesn't need me because it'll exist and I can't exist without it. That's not our main point of focus, because
there's a different point to focus on during the week because of the Metzias of the week, and there's a different thing to focus on Shabbos because of the Metzias of Shabbos. That's what's amazing. Let's learn footnote 21 and 22. Shalachain muchrach liyais inyan hatfila b'Shabbos kodem asudas. That's why, because of this, in other words, we said that a person's eating has to be a spiritual act on Shabbos. It means enjoy the food and taste the food, of course. But it has to be with the proper avodah. If it's not with the proper avodah, then of course then none of this is going on. Shalachain, therefore, muchach liyais inyan hatfila b'Shabbos kodem asudas. Therefore, davening on Shabbos has to come before footnote 21 of page Hay. Therefore, davening on Shabbos has to come before eating. If you eat on Shabbos without davening first, tefillah v'kavana, then liyasaklum, nothing happens. All that happens is that you get more physical from the physical food that you're eating, because you're eating before davening. God forbid. Kasher, what?
That's every day.
Kashi Yisayra Tchila, that's true, that's every day, but on Shabbos it becomes a bigger problem. Kashi Yisayra Tchila B'Tfila B'Kavana. When on Shabbos you first go to Daven, right, and there's this Iris Tchila, and there's this Yisayra in Ruchnias, a spiritual Yisayra, by Davening, the Kavana, as Ayam Shechacharka B'Achiglasoy, as Einig Ha'elyam, then you're able through the act of eating to continue on with your spiritual work and to somehow tap into that Einig Ha'elyon, to that highest delight that comes from the sherish of the food. Like the Kahanim who were eating Korbanis when they ate Korbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. Adayin Eina Muvan, go down a few more lines. Adayin Eina Muvan. Still, we need to understand. How is it that through eating on Shabbos, which is a physical act, I'm able to draw from that Tanug Elyon, from the highest level of delight that comes from that world that precedes this world? Even though it's true, these are the words of the Tzemach Tzedek, who's discussing this in our Torah. He says, even though, of course, it's true. That what? That even that on Shabbos the food itself is returned to its source in holiness. In Kolze, nevertheless, Michael Shalanu Avgam b'Shabbos harayhu b'noyga. Look, sof kol sof, even on Shabbos, the food that I'm eating is physical food. It's just rakshu toiv shabenoyga. In other words, on that side of noyga means that which contains within it good and bad. Physical and spiritual. So sof kol sof, I'm eating a piece of food. Rakshu toiv shebenoyge, it's from the good of the noyge shenichla b'kedusha, that's of course that is part of holiness. Mekom kom l'adami klal, that's b'kedusha. It's not the same thing as davening or learning. I'm eating a piece of food. Ach einyan she'ein ze mitzad ha'maichel atzmai. It's not mitzad ha'maichel itself. It's rak mitzad kedusha Shabbos. It's because of the kedusha of Shabbos, the kedusha is nefesh elokis shabbos Shabbos, and the kedusha and the holiness of the godly soul on Shabbos. Hanefesh elokis shasha gavoy ma'ayit. The source of the nefesh elokis of the godly soul of a Jew is very high. The gam b'Shabbos, and on Shabbos also nimshach neshami yaseir. It's even higher. There's even revealed even a higher level of the soul. In order that a person should be a Shabbos-dicker person, that's you become a Shabbos-digger person through the Iker, the Tfilas, the davening of Shabbos, and the learning and so on of Shabbos. Then you're able to what? To tap in to the Kedushas Shabbos that fills the food. It's not just it's not the taste of the chicken, but the Kedusha of Shabbos that now fills the food that this food is a manifestation of that Kedusha that comes from a level that's higher than man. These are the words of the Tzemach Tzedek. And that's what he explains. That's why the Rebbe Sulsi Gelin explained, the last Rebbe explained, that the need to daven, in order that a person should be able to eat properly, that's more so on Shabbos than eating during the week. You have to do that during the week as well. Therefore, the davening on Shabbos has to take longer and has to be more with more kavana, so that a person could become prepared and ready to be able to eat.
This man and woman.
I don't know that there's any distinction. 22. Which is not the case without proper achana. Harigam achilas is just the achana of a woman in tefillas according to what she's supposed to daven, which is not the same thing. Right? There are different levels of, there are different requirements of tefillah. So the requirement of a woman is different than the requirement of a man, which I'm not going into now. It's a different requirement. And as long as she puts her kaychus into whatever her requirement is, so that's her hachana. It doesn't mean it's the same as a man's hachana. I just don't want there to be a misunderstanding. Without the proper, if a person does not prepare, harigam achila Shabbos, then even if you don't prepare with tefillah, with davening, then Gam Achilas Shabbos, then your Shabbos eating could also be a big adventure in Gashmias. Then you could be, Shabbos could be your most physical day of the week, God forbid. Because during the day, during the 6 days, you might be running, you're so busy with work, you don't have time to have such a serious meal. Shabbos, you have more time, so you could really fresh. So that could become, you could become even more physical on Shabbos. He says, "Mashenkin b'li achana ruya." Harei gam achilas Shabbos. He brings to the Mittler Rebbe, "Megashim aguf mitzad atanug agashim shabaguf." As far as the, if you don't prepare, then the eating of Shabbos can be make the guf, the body, even more physical. Mitzad atanug agashim shabaguf. She'en nevar u'meuruv mitayv ragomer. It's mamish a total confusion and a mixing up of the reality of what's on Shabbos. And without any biur, because the biur is only the 6 days of the week. So on Shabbos, you're not mevara the food. You're not allowed to be biur on Shabbos. So you're eating food without any biurim on Shabbos. You're getting like just straight meat and straight food without any biurim. So the Mittler Rebbe says it could cause more of it could cause more gashmias during the 6 days of the week. Where the avoid is more in birurim, and person hopefully is thinking about birurim on the 6 days. Nope. So he's able to try to take something out that Bereshim should give me koyach when I go to work, and I shouldn't forget who he is, and I should be an Eved Hashem. Shabbos doesn't have to go to work. Shabbos, there's no birurim. Shabbos is just eat. Right? He's just eating. So if it's without the proper hachanis, so then the Mittler Rebbe says it could even become more magushim from the Shabbos eating, as per, you know, Kiddush clubs. And so on. There was just somebody that I know. He called me up, a Talmud, that he got an offer for a job in a chashiva, what's considered to be a very very chashiva stella someplace, a chashiva shul somewhere, that has a couple hundred members, and he was interviewed and they liked him very much, and they're negotiating the salary, and negotiating the terms of his employment. But the tnai was, one of the conditions was that you do not object to our having a Kiddush club, because they know that there's something terrible going on in some shuls in different places that they're stopping to have a Kiddush club. And you can imagine, they told him everything else like is pretty reasonable, the salary is good, their responsibilities seem to all be like with learning and giving shiur, it's all good, everything is nice. All the stuff is normal. But then they said that there's a condition that he, they didn't write in the thing. I don't know how to, because I guess they're embarrassed to actually put it in the, you know, I don't know. But there's a condition, and the condition is that you not, don't mess with the Kiddush Club. That was a condition. That's a, yeah, he wants it in writing. Yeah, that he not tried to stop the Kiddush Club. So he called me up and he told me about this job, and should you take it? And I said, well, what are they, you know, sounds like it's a good opportunity. You could do a lot over there. What are they asking? So I said, no, it's a good place. Everything is good. They're nice people. But I mean, they have a couple of other, a few other things that get me nervous, you know, that they had over there. But nothing that can't be really worked out. They're not Meichel. Don't even bring up the subject. You have to agree never to mention anything against the Kiddush Club in order to come to the shul, in order to get the job. That's pretty. That's a serious Kiddush Club. That's very. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. That's a t'nai for the new Rav. In other words, they see everything about him that they're looking for, because the shul is lemaisa. It's dying. It's at that point where they need somebody to, you know, like there was no, the old Rav has not been doing anything for a long time, and he finally like agreed, you know, whatever, to retire or something, and they're going to bring, and now it's at a point where this whole community needs the shul to be revived, and they have this Gevaldig Gefel. He's great, and he could do it. He could do it, Bez Hashem. But they're not going to take him if he's going to speak out against the Kiddush Club. That's a raya, that the shirish of the Kiddush Club comes from a higher world than men.
Well,
it must be.
Doesn't even need.
It must be, because there's no. It doesn't make sense at all. It has to come from someplace that's higher than anything that we understand. But they're prepared to compromise on a rabbi. Knows. We'll take a different person that's not as qualified, as long as he lets us, as long as he doesn't speak out against the Kiddush Club. Huh? So what do you think? That's good. So what do you think my advice was to him? So
let me hear. Because the Rebbe says a place like that you should never go to. But what I think the Rebbe told him was you should take it, because when you do your job properly over time.
All right, of course I told him to take it. 100%. I said I know you, and a year from now they're not going to have any more Jewish club, and you'll never have to announce it. Right. They'll just stop having it. That's exactly what I told him. And then that's in Mitzvah, that's what it will be. I'll tell them that tell them that you're gonna, if you let me, I'll come down myself during the Haftarah to make Kiddush with you. Don't worry about it, I said. He said, but it's disgusting, how can I said, you just agree, and you don't have to ever say anything. That's the agreement. You don't have to talk about it. Say you're not gonna talk about it. They're gonna lose their cheshek for it. If you do your job, mm-hmm. and you give them over with your heart, Bemis, they're going to lose their cheshik for that. It's not going to be anymore, and you don't have to worry about it. Just be mashpia and then tayf, 100%. And he can do it. If everything works out, then Mitzvah Shem will take it. It'll be good. It'll be good for hundreds and hundreds of families.
That was an easy one. Is there like the
hardest one? I have a hard one. Rebbe.
What if they said he has to say hello on your mic? Like something like that. Like. All
right. This was, by the way, very similar to Rebbe Lubavitch. For Rav from Efrat used to be in conservative shul. And Rabbi Lubavitch Rabbi told him, you can go in only if 1 year you're going to change it to Orthodox.
But that wasn't a klal. I'm not happy you said that, because that was never a klal by Lubavitch Rabbi, such a thing. I don't believe. First of all, I never saw it in writing. I don't believe it.
Okay.
I don't believe it. I never saw it in writing. I heard people say it. I spoke to all the Lubavitchers about it. They said that there was never such a thing. It's Sheker. The conservatives themselves. Sheker. I don't believe it. What? Not that there should be men and women sitting together. I asked different Hasidim. Old Hasidim, they said there's no such thing. There's no such thing.
It's just a sequel.
Yes, Habe Sipur. Okay, we'll continue with the second.